Let us pray. For the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the passage that Brian read for us, we read about Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus was a beggar, and he was blind, which is probably why he was a beggar, because he couldn't earn a living, and they didn't have social security or tax credits or anything like that in those days. Perhaps they're lucky when it comes to tax credits, but that's another story. So the guy was begging by the side of the road, and he heard that Jesus was coming. And people said to Jesus, Bartimaeus wants to see you. So Jesus told him to come. And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus said, I want to see. And Jesus healed him. And off he went. So that phrase buzzed around in my mind, Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? For facets, Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? As a church, whether it's Liverpool Road, St. Peter's, or wherever else we go, Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? And as individuals, Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? So first of all, let's take facets, because we're here to celebrate facets. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? First of all, let's go back. Why was facets set up? It was set up to reach out into the community, to be a bridge between the church and the community, to reach out to people who are lonely, to people who are struggling, to people maybe who haven't got enough money to make ends meet and have to use food banks. Basically, it's a way of reaching out to the whole community. To those looking for meaning in life, but don't know where to find it. So that's the purpose of facets. And we reach out, and it's got nothing to do with whether we come to this church or indeed if we go to any church. Because God shows unconditional love to anybody. In a recent census, the last census that was done, 74% of people in this area put down, when it came to religion, that they were Christian. 74%. So how are we reaching out through facets? Or how are we reaching out through other things that are happening in churches? How are we reaching out, for example, at St. Peter's through footprints? And at other churches through things that are reaching out to the community? How are we reaching out to people? The idea, what they're saying is that people go to this mother and toddler group and don't be afraid of mentioning God. They're coming onto church premises. They would almost expect it. And it goes on to say that there was one lady in the community who was very lonely. And she walked in one day, even though she hadn't got any children with her. And she found, from what was being said in this group, she found people who loved her and told her that she was special. So as a result of that, she joined the church. And she had a partner, and she brought him along. And he joined the church. And the two of them got married. And she goes on to say later on in that video how it has changed her life. Just a chance encounter of coming in to a mother and toddler group. Whatever we're doing within our churches, let's not be afraid of mentioning God. Let's not be afraid that we might offend somebody. I mean, it mentioned there about halfway through they get the Bibles out. Now, I'm not suggesting that when we have the coffee break, we get the Bibles out or anything like that. But who knows what might happen in the future. But the important thing is, are we allowing God into people's lives? For example, it might be announced that somebody is sick. Somebody is not well, whatever it is, or got problems. Let's pray for them. Somebody's grieving because they've lost a husband or a wife, or a brother or a sister, or a child, anybody. We can pray for them. We can show that love of Jesus. Maybe in the classes that we're in, we get into conversation with somebody. And it might naturally lead to introducing them to Jesus. What about the people in the community who are lonely? What about the people who are struggling? Are we reaching out to them? Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? Enable us to reach out to the community, to reach out to people who need Jesus, maybe people we don't like. I'm not going to mention any names here because I haven't asked permission from this particular person. I'm sure he or she wouldn't mind, but anyway. It involves a minister, which many of you will know. And this minister, in a previous church, there was a man who started coming to the services. To put it politely, his personal hygiene wasn't that brilliant. To put it bluntly, he stank. And people gave him a wide berth. And one of the stewards came to this minister and said, got a problem with Mr. So-and-so. What happens if anybody new comes and sits next to him? It might put them off and they might never come again. And the minister said, there's a perfectly normal, sensible, easy solution to this. So the steward said, what is it? And the minister said, you can sit next to them. You can sit next to them. Jesus isn't just for the people who are nice like us. Nice? Well, we hope we are. Jesus is for the person who hasn't got good personal hygiene. Jesus is for those who are struggling with drug addiction. There's a group of people called street pastors who go out at the weekends. And they go around town when the clubs and pubs are tipping out and people are intoxicated and up for a fight or struggling and can't stand up. And they go out and they minister to them. And you get young girls dressed in flimsy dresses on heels, which would give you vertigo. I could do with a pair of those, actually, but never mind. And they go out and they speak to them, and the girls walking along Lord Street drunk with can't wear their shoes because they're not in any fit state to. So they give them flip-flops so that they're not walking along the road in bare feet, possibly treading on broken glass, and they're just there for them to minister to them. And it's amazing how many people come up to them and say, thank you. Thank you for what you did for me the other night. Just being Jesus to these people. Reaching out to them. That's what Facets is about. It's about meeting together and enjoying time together. But it's about offering Jesus. We're on church premises. Let's not be afraid to talk about him. He's changed our lives. Why don't we tell people about it? I'm not suggesting we buttonhole them and say, brother, are you saved? Wouldn't dream of that. But when the opportunity naturally arises, let's mention him. Let's offer him. He might change somebody's life. And for us as individuals, we were talking before about one facet is the light that's in our lives as a result of Jesus. And if you'll forgive me, a personal illustration. Years and years ago, I used to work for the Philips organization. And people knew that I was a Christian. And there was one particular guy, and at every opportunity, he would ridicule me in front of all the others. And he would get cheap laughs out of it, and I just sort of shrugged my shoulders. And it reached the stage where basically I couldn't stand the guy, because every time he would take this opportunity. And then one morning, he came to me and he said, Colin, he said, can we have a word in private? So I said, yeah, okay. The bravado wasn't there, so we went into an office, and I said, what's the problem? And he just said, and he broke down. And he said, I want to talk to you. He said, I'm having trouble with my marriage, and I don't know where to turn. He said, do you mind if we talk about it? Because I trust you, and I know that you won't go and tell anybody else. Well, I was absolutely amazed. This was a guy who took every opportunity to ridicule me. So we talked about it. I said, would you be happy if I prayed with you? He said, please, I'm glad that you would do. So we prayed together. I thought, this is the guy who used to slag me off every day. We never know what impact we're having. We don't necessarily have to say anything. It's just being Jesus, allowing Jesus to shine out through us, and we never know how it can impact on people's lives. The other aspect is not what can I do for you, says Jesus, but the other way round. In the 1700s, there was a very wealthy nobleman called Count Zinzendorf. And he was born in Dresden. And when he was 18, he was going round an art gallery. And he came across a huge painting on the wall, and it showed Jesus on the cross with blood coming down his face and a crown of thorns and blood from his hands and so forth. And Zinzendorf looked at this picture and he couldn't take his eyes off it. And there was a caption underneath and it said, all this suffering I did for you. What have you done for me? And Zinzendorf couldn't take his eyes off it. And he went home, and all the time it was repeating through his mind was, all this suffering I did for you, what have you done for me? And that completely changed his life. And he was a very, very wealthy man. But he turned his back on all that, and he used his wealth to help people. And one of the groups of people were the Moravians, who were being persecuted in what is now the Czech Republic. and he took them in. And their Christianity had a profound effect on him. And he became leader of what was called the Moravian Mission. And they used to do missionary work in the United States, apart from other places. And they were coming back on a boat from the United States back to Europe. And there was a young Anglican vicar called John Wesley who was on his way back after a failed missionary trip, wondering where he'd gone wrong. And the boat got into a violent storm and it looked as though it might sink. And everybody was panicking and worried. And Wesley saw this group of people sat singing hymns and praying on the deck as though it was a nice, calm summer's day. And it turned out that they were Moravians. And he had a word with them. And it had a profound effect on him. And he went home and he thought and he prayed about it. And then later he, in Aldersgate Church in London, he came out with this phrase, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." And he pointed back to that encounter with the Moravians, which all came from Zinzendorf hearing Jesus say, "All this suffering I did for you, what have you done for me?" That's a challenge for each of us. All this suffering I did for you, what have you done for me? Or perhaps, what are you doing for me? Whether it's through facets, whether it's through our activities in other churches or as individuals, what are we doing to reach out to people? Gary Player, was it? And somebody said to him, "Do you know, you're very, very lucky when you're on the golf course." And he said, "Do you know, the more I practice, the luckier I get." And Archbishop Temple, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury, once said, people said to him, "Do you know, there are so many coincidences in life." And Temple said, "Do you know, the more I pray, the more coincidences there are." And the more we pray, either as individuals or together, the more coincidences there are and the more opportunities there are for God to work through us. Amen.